You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go!
Listen, you figure...
Calm yourself.
True, I can't deny it.
Hey, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. Morning, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wakeys. Had a hell of a night last night.
Yes, we did.
Very, very fun. We had a great crew. Pretty much all the big tables were full, and we had our team set for trivia.
Yeah.
And beer and mead and LARPing.
There was a lot of LARPing.
At Tucson Games and Gadgets last night. It was so fun.
Live action role playing. Yeah, it was fun. Mark's a great host.
Yep.
You are a good quiz master yourself, sir.
Oh, mercy.
And, he's got a great community there. And just hung out for a little while after the festivities and saw all sorts of groups of people just having a great time. And he's got a really, really nice community there, and he's got a great place for them. And you know, apparently it's successful enough that it's not only fun, but it's also ongoing thing for him. I mean, he was telling us that he started this all up in 2014.
Yeah, his shop at Laughs in the Laughs Shopping Center on Broadway. And then he moved over here in 2016. So he's been here at this location for 8 years at a mall, and he takes bigger spots. He's taking 3 spots of the mall right now.
That's awesome.
And what he's done is he's identified a niche market that the average brick and mortar business doesn't even attend to, which is the geeks and game people, right? Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of them are over the age of 20, and they have discretionary income to blow on stuff.
Sure. They're passionate about it.
Yep.
And the other observation was that whole little alcove of the mall. You got Games and Gadgets. You've got a comic book store,
Presidio Comics,
and you've got a video game store, exchange, whatever.
Right.
And you know, so you got this huge community of interest that's just thriving in a mall. People are finding uses for traditional malls, legacy malls.
Yep.
And I just love where people are finding ways to reuse the space for fun and profit.
So him and I have had this discussion for years, is how do you transform that side of the mall into basically like a total geek corner, right? And that's what's kind of happening with the comic book place, what he's doing. There's a place that he says, it's only like a few doors down, where all they do is chess, right? They facilitate, have chess classes, and they do chess tournaments. And they're taking a place in the mall, and they've been there for at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
He says you wouldn't believe the amount of kids that are going for chess lessons and chess war over at this chess place.
And then I was talking to some friends that joined us, and they are really getting into, even at home, like games, like card games, board games.
Yeah.
And we had a nice long discussion about this. When you're playing, you are talking about the game. And you're bad-mouthing your opponents or teasing your opponents.
Yep.
And you're also talking about random stuff. And it's just a wonderful experience.
You know, we say it in the commercial, get detached from your technology and do
Correct.
These things, right?
Yes.
And it's funny. I had a family that I know that whenever they go like out, they go in they get a rental home someplace in the mountains or whatever. They're like, oh, we always have a game night, right? We always like game day, right?
Yeah.
And like, they said... It was really where we said, we never do this at home. we'll do game day at home, for God's sake.
Why not?
You know, and Mark. So if you go to Mark's place to play games, he has like 800 games on a shelf, and you can just pull one off, any one you want, and have a beer or a soft drink and a snack.
Isn't that
and
something?
Play a game in a nice, quiet, safe area. And what's great about a mall for geeks is they don't really like sunlight. They're like, they're kind of like vampires, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And so if they can shop and just run from their car
they also like temperatures that are below 108, with humidity, or what we call humidity, I should say.
As we like to say, not too many daywalkers in the geek world. So, God bless.
And once again, Mark is just a very warm and gracious host.
He is. He was our trivia master.
Yeah.
And So we've played a couple of rounds of trivia, and then we, you know, you add up your points, and then, you know, and then you have your winning team, and then I did a bonus.
Yeah.
A bonus round of very hard trivia.
So for those who weren't there, the few of you that weren't there, because we had a bustling crowd.
It was.
One of the most interesting questions that I'd never thought about was what two states have the most states bordering them,
yep.
share borders with others, the most states. And it was Tennessee and Montana?
Missouri.
Missouri, I'm sorry, yes.
Missouri.
Anyway, I just, of all the questions that were asked, that one was just kind of stunned me because I'd never even really thought about that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had such a great time, and multiple people like, can we do another trivia night like in the fall?
Sure.
So, we'll do it. I'm okay with that. I loved it. I had a great time with you guys.
There's one controversial question because it was what's the smallest planet? And of course led into the painful subject.
Fake news.
Of Pluto getting deplaneted.
Well, the other one that was.
Which is a divisive topic.
That was one of my bonus
sure,
ones.
Sure.
The bonus
round.
So one of the ones that Mark's crew came up with was which president was like the president for the most years during the space race?
That was a great question. And we, our team, spent a lot of time talking about that.
So to me, they said the answer is JFK.
Right, but that was 3 years.
Right, so how is it not? Isn't
we were thinking
that
LBJ?
I said LB. We said
LBJ.
So
where do you call the space race? I mean, you know, what do you because?
So it's probably from the first time the Russians killed a dog by sending them up there.
Correct. So
right?
now you're back into the 50s, and so yeah, and so the answer ultimately was.
But does the space race end with man walking on a moon, which was also fake, of course?
Okay, thanks.
Come on.
There it is.
You are fake news.
Okay. So it was a great question because then it's what are we going to Eisenhower. So they said it was Kennedy, though, was the answer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 years, and then because the reason we settled on Johnson was you had 64, 5, 6, 7. 8, and I mean, we just thought it was LBJ.
Yeah.
But do you consider the race to get into orbit? Do you consider the race to Mercury, to Gemini, to the, you know, or to the moonwalk?
They were all great questions by Mark's crew, except that one. That was too much gray area.
It invited further questions.
That's
which
true.
Which is good. Argument, counter-argument, you know. Yeah. It's like point, counterpoint.
And then even a guy in an amazing Mandalorian armor from Star Wars just walks past us and just stands
just
there. We're
right
like,
out of the blue.
It was a good one, and he was in shape, which is rare. And that was amazing. Because there's Boba Fett, and then some of the out of shape ones they have said Boba Fett.
Okay.
Anyway,
Boba Fett. What's that? I need sleep.
Let's get to the rundown.
Yes, sir.
Rundown. We still got to make fun of the U of A, U Arizona
We're
thing.
We're still. Okay.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Going back for seconds. I like it.
We didn't have first yet.
Well,
I just mentioned
bit.
It.
You broached the subject.
So we will talk about
a prelude of the UA versus U of Arizona or U Arizona.
Listener Scott sent me a Forbes article about how much Catholic charities make from the U.S. government, and tell you why if you're taking more than 50% of your income is from the government, you are now a government department, just to let you guys know that.
Or a Mark Fincham subcontractor.
Oh, damn! That just happened. We got this is from the Federalist, John Daniel Davidson. What a name. Usually it's for, you know, that's when they say you've been sentenced, John Daniel Davidson.
Police would like to arrest they've located.
There could be no unity with the Democrat media industrial complex. We'll talk about that. The real reason Trump chose J.D. Vance. Ann Coulter does a rundown of the political background of all presidential shooters. Very unhinged, factually unhinged. Oh, sorry, that was Laura Conover, called by Barbara LaWall. Desperate Joy Reid compares COVID, Biden having a COVID, to Trump surviving an assassination. So we got that going for us. Biden finally gives RFK Jr. Secret Service protection. We got, we're going to play this interview with Carrie Lake with her former compatriot from Channel 12, and it's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. Investigation at the Pima County Jail. Renee Romo tried to do a report on the Mosaic Quarter lease agreement and missed, almost got there and then missed it. Just missed it, sad to say. Tucson Starbucks votes to unionize, thank God. Authorities pull over a lady named Christy Powell Perez over in the Acres,
yeah.
And she only had 4,000 fentanyl pills in the vehicle.
She's taking them to the guy in the RV. He had to restock.
Rancher Jim Chilton spoke at the he's been on the show before.
Sure.
He spoke at the RNC last night.
Part of the Everyday Americans series of speakers at the convention.
And then a business owner.
One of three Arizonans to speak. By
yeah, time. And a business owner in San Luis, David Lara, he also spoke. So we might play one of those or so. And then the other one that was interesting is with the Carrie Lake situation is Garrett Archer over at ABC 15 has Carrie Lake offering Sheriff Mark Lamb a cabinet position if he drops out of the race. So we'll get to that.
Wasn't that a bad thing a few months ago?
You are correct.
I'm just making sure I got it all straight. Okay.
Keep your powder dry,
sir,
soldier.
Yes,
keep
I
your
will.
Powder dry.
Yeah, yes.
So
just don't mind that jelly donut in my Foot Locker.
Let's go visit some great sponsors today. So we're going to do music. And again, you guys can send me 18 with a good theme if you got it. But we're going to do, because we're in the middle of this election year, starting in 1960, we're going to do each election year's songs from the top 100 of each of those years.
Now, is this classified as the space race or?
It is, or this is
am I dredging up a source
subject?
Of
this is in the heart of the space race, as we like to say.
Who are we starting off with here today, Chris?
And let's check my picture out for the JFK election year.
You're a good man, Christy Simone.
You're welcome, my friend. It's a picture of President Kennedy with
a presidential summit.
There's a valley out there that John and Robin and I are going to be traversing through. All right.
You're a good man, Chris.
Sexy, sexy, sexy. Our amazing former guest, Chubby Checker. Not, he's still alive, I think. I'm not saying he's dead, but here we go. 1960. Brushfire says there's a claptrap. No, that's the name of the other thing. Speed trap, 22nd Wilmot westbound.
Okay.
So we shouldn't be helping you people with your speeding problems. That's what I think. So sorry, Chadster. let's do some U of A news to start off. Let's just start off. This is in the Arizona Daily Independent Cronkite News, just talking about how. Travel now that the ASU and U of A are in the Big 12. Of course, they're going to be when the U of A plays Central Florida. It's a 2,100-mile flight that they have to get their stuff out there. But what I love about this is whoever wrote. I didn't even know this was the AD at ASU. Graham Rossini.
So you got France and Italy.
Graham Rossini. Hey, René Francois, how you doing? He's so worried. The importance of asking practical questions when traveling across time zones.
Nobody asked this question. A year ago, I just, huh? You just now thought of that, huh? What? How much they get paid? How, I mean, this now coming to them.
Could I ever see any?
Man, we could have some jet lag.
Cross timelines to guarantee that the players meet their academic expectations. Ah! When the brass is worried
just now, this all kind of came into view.
You a Mr. Five-Star prospect that want to play for us, huh? What's your grades, huh? How's your grades doing? We're so worried about your grades. You tackle the dummy, and then you tackle the quarterback, huh?
And then you tackle the books, if you're still awake.
Let's go down to the University of Arizona.
We are so worried about the time zone.
Flying from Tucson to West Virginia for a swim meet.
What could go wrong? I mean, we're going to be flying the four girls on the sand volleyball court.
Right.
Out to West Virginia for they're like, wow, why is the sand like black here in West Virginia?
Lights are kind of booked. Can you guys drive? You'll need to leave today. Kind of overbooked.
Do we add an extra day on the particular road trip?
We make the weeks eight days along in the week, like the Beatles did.
8 days a week. That's what we say in the academic world. Eh? Eh? This is this news story. I love this. What do we do meals a pre-trip? On the trip, when do we land? How do we find a responsible way to get into decent time? So everyone, you're going to love this. Everybody gets a good night's sleep.
Of course, sir. Lots of melatonin. Melatonin budget go through the roof.
Please tell me the NAU athletic director is from Germany, has a good German last name. Then I got it all. I can pull up every bad ethnic European thing we got here. The students' well-being and experience are very much up front, and how much he can shoot in the basket, eh?
Okay, bellissimo.
This is so good. I'm like, this is amazing. I love it. Oh, man. There's a time.
Just now.
There's
these
a time.
People are making seven-figure salaries, and they just now realized.
There's a time of differences everywhere. You still got to get the job done. I still love ADs actually talking about academics. Just stop. Back to the old classic Wake Up Tucson analogy. You know, this is like Wilt Chamberlain preaching. What's that word?
Abstinence.
Oh, we're so worried about the starter center's biology scores, you see? Oh, and then he's got the English literature. It's so wonderful. I just went Swedish there. Stop it. Graham Rossini and Rene Francois Croissant, whatever her name is. $2 million of we're worried about the kids, about all the little kiddies' grades, eh? Eh? They do a good on the basket of weaving, and then they take a basket weaving a two, and then they take a that basket of weaving a three, eh?
When do they sleep? When do they sleep?
We're going to spend $12,000 a flight to send the 12 of volleyball players over to West Virginia. We could have stayed in the pack of tree, huh? We could have cut our travel expenses like about 90%. But maybe we get a decent TV contract instead of that the pack of 12 crap, huh? Oh my. The it's a bitsy, a weenie, a deenie, a bikini, huh?
Bellissima.
My brother almost got it. He said Dom DeLuise in Cannonball Run 2. I'm thinking, isn't that the... I thought it was
Foster Brooks. No, it wasn't Foster Brooks.
Well, no, it was Jack Elam in the first one was the doc.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's thinking the doc in Smokey and the Bandit 2 with the elephant.
Pregnant elephant.
Yeah.
Spend the night in Charlotte's bed. You might get shot caught in Charlotte's web.
We're playing the tunes from 1960. We're going to play election year tunes. So, TUSD, here's your if we're gonna play 1960 today, and okay. we're gonna do the next year that there was a presidential election. What? Don't tell me now, TUSD. Okay. What would be? It's 4 years later.
We won't jump ahead.
Nothing better than the universe hands us a great silly story like that. And then I got the Graham Rossini. Yeah. Oh boy. People are like, please don't bring that character back again, DeSimone. Just... You keep a saying a no, I keep a doing it, eh?
Keep it doing.
Christy Simone used an ethnic slur of a impression today on Wake Up Tucson. As the Metro columnist at the Arizona Daily Star, I must call him out for this racial insensitivity. Hey, Tim Estella, kiss him my butt, huh?
I didn't know it was Columbus Day.
University of Arizona quietly returns to U of A branding. I like this. This is from the Phoenix Station. ASU student says that's hilarious. You know, I was talking, Dr. Ackley and I were talking yesterday. We were talking about, remember we had the variety of A's? We had to have the A with the desert with the cactus in it, right? And then we had to go to the block A. And then
not block A Morlock, but the block A.
No, not gotcha. Block A.
Yeah.
And you know, if we went back and found out how much the University of Arizona spent with your taxpayer dollars and tuition dollars to research the proper A, I believe it was at least several million dollars.
Many lira.
Oh, that's a lot to meet the ball, huh? So, you could tell that was like the bellwether of the which one of the press was just, you know, you could just tell they were just kissing the U of A's butt because they kept on trying to say U Arizona. You're like, please stop. It sounds silly. And like I said yesterday, Tia Gloria nailed it in the Facebook stream with, it's really hard to chant U Arizona in a basketball game. So, U Arizona, that's four syllables. You can't do that. Especially since 74% of the people in McHale Center are over the age of 80, and so it'd be tough for them to spit that out, all four syllables. Not Tia Gloria. She's got great lungs. So, Joe Biden has finally granted RFK's request for Secret Service protection only after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Just now. Although, Secret Service protection ain't what it once was, I think.
Now, we love Bill number one, but he has a flat roof problem on Facebook. He has found every meme humanly possible,
yes, sir,
about sloped, slanted roofs, yeah, whatever we're doing here.
Including a sloped roof with the flag, "Don't Tread on Me." Which I thought was clever.
Let's see. Let's count. I'm going to count Bill's memes on roofs. Okay, here we go. He has the Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. The roof, you can't handle the roof. We got that. We have, the scariest things on earth, bar graph, the dark, clowns, sharks, serial killers, death, and slightly sloped roofs. We got that. We have the "Don't Tread on Me" with a picture of a shed with a roof. We have, what do we got here? Goliath claims he only lost to David because they were on a slightly sloped surface. The picture of the cow on the roof. Secret Service is the scared kid in the corner, and there's the little bunny next to the bucket. That's the slightly sloped roof. The picture of a very sloped roof that said U.S. Secret Service Director's Biggest Nightmare. The scene from Revenge of the Sith where Obi-Wan tells Anakin, I have the high ground. He says, it's over, Anakin. I have the sloped roof. We got that. We have a guy in a wheelchair going up a ramp. It says, evading the Secret Service. Bad slope, good slope. We got that one. We have biggest, baddest, highest budget security agent on the planet. And then there's this, I mean, Bill's, I mean, we're pushing 10 here. I mean, he's killing it right now on the slope roof. So anyway, Alexander Mayorkas, that genius, in light of this weekend's events, the president has directed me to work with the Secret Service to provide protection to Robert Kennedy Jr. Hey, RFK, are you feeling better about having the Joe Biden Secret Service? Just let me know. Oh, my God, Dr. Neil. It's every legend has a weakness. So it has Samson cutting his hair off, Achilles, of course, hitting him in the ankle and the heel with the arrow, and then the Secret Service. And it has the mathematical formula for slope. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Neil. And then Bill just said, you're welcome. Well, thank you. Oh, God, there's another one. I opened up a can of worms. I opened up a can of a Chef Boyardee on this one, as we say. Joy Reid compares Joe Biden's COVID cold to Trump's attempted assassination. She claimed that old man Biden, a human pincushion of booster shots. Oh my Lord. Yeah, she basically said if Joe Biden recovers from COVID, it should be seen as a sign of strength. Similar to Donald Trump surviving an assassination attempt. This was really said live on the air. I just want to let Joy know, there's a local politician. He's part of the unholy trinity that began the destruction of Pima County. His name is Raul Grijalva. He's about 4 foot tall. He's about 300 pounds. He's been chain smoking since he was 12, and he probably drinks a lot. He survived COVID possibly twice. Please. Joe will be just fine. So, well, they're trying. They are trying. Van Jones on CNN has been pounding the Democrats during this RNC. He talked about last night, a bullet couldn't stop Trump, a virus just stopped Biden. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together. He added that Joe is getting his butt kicked by his own party. So we shall see. You know what, dude? When we come back, we're gonna play Carrie Lake on Channel 12 with her fellow former compatriot on the Channel 12 News. And what I want we're going to listen for is how, if she wins the primary, how does this play in? Because what they're doing again is they're giving you a preview of what's going to be hit on her when she goes into the general. And how do you think she's handling it? And how does that play with the independence that you need to win the state of Arizona? So we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about, I do want to get, maybe we'll get to this first. It's the Garrett Archer piece, a little statement about Sheriff Lamb being offered a cabinet position. Let's talk about that when we come back. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, we're doing election years, presidential election years. A little bit of Bobby Darin, Beyond the Sea, one of his best. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The U of A athletic director prefers the French title Le Maire, just to let everyone know that. So, quas. All right, let's get to Kerry Lake, one of my favorite, not so favorite, candidates out there. Garrett Archer over at ABC 15. The most notable thing in the statement is Mark Lamb claims Lake tried to offer him a cabinet position with Trump if he dropped out of the Senate race. We reached out to Sheriff Lamb directly and he confirmed it. It's an interesting event considering Lake recording from earlier this year and how it played off at that time.
At one time, such an offer was a bad thing, according to Lake, I think. Maybe she's now a powerful Eastern syndicate.
No, she's a Western syndicate.
Oh, okay.
Remember? So that was the thing she said.
Powerful Eastern forces.
So just to remind everyone.
Has she burned her good friend in the process?
Her friend and employer.
And employer.
Who is paying so her six figures.
The six-figure income was okay, but increasing that to more money was wrong.
Correct.
All of a sudden it made it wrong.
Right. So, so good. So, if you know, Lake was getting paid at least six figures by a company owned by Jeff DeWitt, then state party chairperson. And have we ever figured out what she was doing for the, like, actually, or was it just so she could keep running, kind of be out there and pay her bills? I mean, it's not cheap to live in Paradise Valley because, you know, she's such a woman of the people. I bet she's got to live in a gated community. She just has to. But I will tell you that, I don't know what her, she's a different kind of gal. Let's just call it that. I'll be nice right now. And she was at that one event the year before. Eastern forces were offering her money to get out of the race.
Yeah.
And just take a break from politics for a couple of years. And then you could run again in 26 or whatever the whole thing was. So then we found out she secretly recorded her friend and employer, Jeff DeWitt, and then she releases it the weekend before the big fundraiser with Donald Trump, which the
Spikes
state party...
$600,000 fundraiser.
Yeah, just take 600 G's for the party down the toilet. And then when asked, why did you release it then? She's like, I was just having breakfast with my family, and I was thinking about it. I thought, oh, remember I recorded that? and then all the Kerry Lakers, how dare he? This crap happens all the time. So it's not that she told Lamb he could have a spot in the Trump cabinet if he got out of the race.
Well, it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't that long ago, she was saying, "Oh, I'm not really even worried about him. We're up by 30 points." So now, why is she even thinking about it? She said she, quote, wasn't worried about him.
So someone needs to ask Donald Trump, did you authorize Kerry Lake to offer a cabinet position to Mark Lamb? Ask that question. Ask that question. I think the chances that Trump authorized Kerry Lake to offer cabinet positions is, how's my friend Dean Wormer?
0.0.
So she's worried about him as part of this.
Yeah, that was that was my takeaway or my initial thought when you told me about this.
Right. So Mark in the end, it's if he loses this thing, he got in with a couple of bad consultants. Let's just say that. And they milked him for lots of money with nothing to show. Then recovers from that and then starts hitting the road, going out to Arizona late April. And just like that event we had with Mark in late May, lots of people who would say, "Oh, Kerry Lake," and once you hear Mark Lamb, you will never go back to Kerry Lake, ever. If you're sitting there, after you experience Mark Lamb, the only reason that you would say, "You know, I'm going to go with Kerry Lake," is you got issues. She's got no experience doing nothing. She doesn't have the temperament to be an elected official. You know, she keeps saying, "Oh, I'm a strong reporter." Well, you're actually a little unhinged yourself, is what's going on here. So I know Trump's got so many things going on in his life right now. I would just love, can someone please ask Donald Trump, is he authorizing Kerry Lake to give out cabinet positions like she's giving away bags of Skittles? And I pray Mark Lamb beats her, because that's the only way you're going to beat Ruben Gallego. And, you know, we'll play this interview. We'll probably do it later, Matt, because I don't think we're going to have time to get it done right now. But her and her former co-anchor, co-reporter at Channel 12 get into it. And it's a hoot and a holler. And what will happen is what these interviews are going to do is you're going to see, okay, will you stop with your autoplay crap? Jesus, you guys are a nightmare. Stupid news. Okay. They're going to show you, the D's are going to show you what they're going to hit her with. This is what's going on. And they bring up, you keep losing in court. You got busted for defaming the other guy, blah, blah, blah. And she can't handle it. She can't handle it. David Schweikert coming up, John Malcolm from Heritage Foundation, Grover calling from Milwaukee in the third hour. Let's get to holidays today. I don't think I got to him yesterday, but let's get to him today. Very important. It's National Dole Whip Day, and you can get those. Malta Joe makes those at the food truck.
Oh yeah.
So it's a winner.
Pineapple
whipped cream thingy wingy.
Did not know that he made those.
He does make Dole Whips.
Wow.
Absolutely. So at the truck.
There's a Hawaiian place on Wilmot, just south of Broadway, and I can't remember the name of it, and they do like a pineapple freeze kind of beverage.
This is like that chain place that opened up. Yeah, what was that called?
It's not L&L, which I haven't been to the Tucson one. I like L&L. They're up on the Northwest, but this place is I can't remember it. But anyway, it's in one of those bakery places that was open for 3 months.
It's National Sour Candy Day.
Okay.
It's World Listening Day, as they like to say. There's a lot of hearing going on, but not much listening.
Yeah.
This goes out to my brother Joe. It's Insurance Nerd Day. Love you, bud. National Caviar Day. We were just talking about athletic directors making a million. So remember when Rockin' Robbins had to take it on the chin, and he had to go to domestic caviar instead of the good Russian stuff? That's the real reason he's leaving. That they had to bust him down to domestic caviar. Get to Know Your Customers Day. We always like that one. National Nelson Mandela International Day. And Perfect Family Day. Wow.
So I love the comment. It was Mark the other day. And he says, you know, I'd watch, Father Knows Best.
Leave it to Beaver.
And he'd say, just quickly realized that there is no perfect family.
Do you know that Barbara Billingsley?
A loving family is a perfect family.
I like that. The Barbara Billingsley, who played
multilingual
Mrs. Cleaver.
She speaks many languages.
You beat me to the punch. No, it's fine. She spoke English, and she is quite fluent in jive, I believe, according to the movie Airplane.
That the Mrs. A Cleaver, she a full of surprises.
She speaks so many languages. She communicated with everybody.
She do with a jive, huh?